That's right. Sports 1140 KHDK. This is The Nation with Lincoln Kennedy, and I am Doug Christie. Link, this is called teamwork, my friend. What's up?
What's happening, Doug? How you doing, brother?
Hey, man, I am doing fantastic. I am doing better than Raiders Nation right now. But it's not all doom and gloom, because you know what, Link? You're in the dance, man.
You're in the dance. You're in the dance.
That's right. Well, tell me, man. First of all, how quiet was it, man? Go ahead.
Remember a couple weeks earlier at home when he injured that finger, and I told you you could. I heard a conversation behind me with headphones on.
I do,
and it wasn't a loud conversation. It was just asking, "Hey, what do you want to drink?" I'm going up to the concession stand right now. So, to be honest with you, it's very quiet. It was very quiet. I mean, the thing is, it's really hard to quantify. But the best way I kind of put it in perspective since it happened is you have all these hopes and expectations, the anticipations, the fact that you've made the playoffs.
Right. There's
still a little bit more to achieve. You can get home field advantage if things fall your way. You can even get a first round bye if things fall your way. Had to take care of business, of course. You've got a game well in hand. And of course, you know, Indianapolis is making a little bit of comeback, but it seems a little too steep for even the great Andrew Luck to overcome. And this type of injury befalls you. It seems like, oh my gosh, the whole season is over. And that's what the average Raider Nation fan, actually, I didn't say the average, most of the Raider Nation fans felt that. The truth comes down to the point where people like me who've watched Matt McGloin play don't doubt his ability or his confidence.
Right.
The biggest knock had always been on him, his size. He's a smaller quarterback.
Okay.
Now, we're not saying that Derek Carr is, you know, 6'10", but Derek Carr was taller, and there's a reason why the Raiders made a move to draft him when they did.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a reason why they made a move to draft Connor Cook, which is, now seems a sense of urgency comes around full circle, because you might have to put Connor in there. But the thing is that they've got to win this last game at Denver. They've already beaten Denver before. Denver's out of the playoffs. Probably doesn't have anything to play for other than being a spoiler for the Raiders, because they could lose. There's still a great that's at stake. A loss would put this team from first to second in a wild card.
Yep.
You see? So Denver's perfectly capable of playing spoiler. You're going to have to rely on other people to get it done. Now, you know, McGloin made a couple key throws last week to keep drives going, even to cement the game in the end. Amari Cooper made a hell of a catch. But this is more than ever. You need a time where it says all hands on deck, and we need everybody to win. And the way I've explained it, you know, to a number of people this week with interviews and everything else, is that if you look at every team in the AFC who's in the AFC playoffs or playoff consideration, all of them have had to win games with a backup quarterback.
Mm.
There's no different from the Oakland Raiders now.
Wow. Well, yes, you are absolutely right.
And you look at, you go down the line, no one expected New England to be in a position, especially with Tom Brady sitting out four games.
That's right.
Pittsburgh, Ben Roethlisberger missed a couple of games. I mean, Kansas City, the list goes on and on, all the way down to Miami. Mm-hmm. So they've all had to win games with a backup quarterback. The Raiders are not going to be able to avoid that now.
Before we move on from David Carr, Derek, mm-hmm. excuse me, Carr, I know that sounds a little like, but – how surprised were you that he got under center? I know it surprised me, and he threw a dime afterwards.
It was surprising, because I don't know if I would have had the wherewithal to chance it. But knowing the type of competitor Derek was, it wasn't as surprising.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can honestly see that if the coaching staff is scratching their head like, man, we really got to do something about this short yardage, or just got to show the people that you can go under center to let them know we have our entire playbook. Derek stamped before, look, I'll do it. Just,
right.
You know, I'll take care of it. I'll protect it. Just let me do it. That's the type of competitor Derek is to me. So I was surprised to do it, because I just would not run a risk it but chance it. But there was a whole lot of their offense that was missed without him being under center. And the way he came out and did it, especially early in the game, sent a message that our entire playbook is open to us.
Wow. Man, too bad. Grant and I talked earlier about Matt McGloin and the fact that this game – is going to be huge for him for a lot of different reasons. But the main one, and want your take, is to grab and galvanize the locker room and show him that, I got this, guys. This game in Denver can do that for him. What's your take on that?
I think what Matt has done in the past has cemented his position in the locker room. That's the reason why he's number two. That's
okay.
The reason why he's been number two.
Okay.
I mean, he's won games before. Hasn't been a whole lot of them. He's won games before they got Derek Carr. So guys who know him before they drafted Derek, you know what he's capable of. To me, what it would cement, it would definitely put in place his number two stature over Connor Cook, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. Yes.
You see what I mean?
Yep.
Now, that's even more important because it's not in the locker room. It's in the upper echelon. The upstairs, the execs. Because the reason why they drafted Connor Cook is they said, you know, heaven forbid, something happens to where we can't keep, Derek for whatever. Here's a quarterback who's had a pedigree at Michigan State where he won football games, was supposed to be a higher draft choice, dropped to the fourth round for whatever. The Dallas Cowboys were going to make a move to trade up to get him, but the Raiders jumped in front of the trade and get him, and that's how they got Connor Cook. And that's how the Cowboys got Dak Prescott. Now, you know, this was a move to cement the depth at quarterback in case all else fails. McGoin has a way of cementing that if he's able to win this game. And for the most part, hey, able to do something when they get into playoffs, whatever position they are.
So are you saying that Connor Cook is, I mean, he if something, just let's just say something happened to McGoin, Connor Cook could go in and do some things?
Oh, he would be the next one up. I'm not saying he could do something.
Yeah.
I mean, he would be the next one up. I mean, it's yet to see if anyone's capable of playing
right
at this level. Because let's face it, you know, even if they are able to take care of business in Denver, I'm not saying they're not, but if they take care of business in Denver and they have a first round bye, that gives you an extra week to prepare from whomever, the possibility of two opponents, and then you have to go out there and show that you can do it. And again, McGoin's biggest knock has always been, everybody I talked to him was his size. He's just a smaller quarterback.
It is 6:08, time for a retirement checkup. Call David Hedger at Granite Bay Asset Management Group, 791-1737. This is The Nation with Lincoln Kennedy. Link, so defenses now, you tell me if I'm wrong, they are going to load the box and they're going to try to not let the Raiders run, and they're going to say, McGoin, throw the ball and beat us.
Absolutely.
What you put on, you know, rub on a crystal ball and tell me, what do you see? Little dink and dunks out in the flat, little passes to get him going. Does he have the arm to be able to take the top off from time to time, or at least test defenses?
Yes. This is what I foresee. I foresee the third receiver, the slot receiver, mm-hmm. the back in the passing game coming more into play, because Denver's got a couple of good lockdown corners.
Okay.
And Denver has the ability to pass rush. Now, what Denver did not do in the first time they met each other, they did not stop the run really well.
Mm-hmm.
Oakland had a really filled day running. And we saw from the last game is how the receivers were able to inject themselves to pick up a safety, which is absolutely essential when people load the box. A receiver's got to come in and crack back on a safety to just get one of those blocks.
Okay.
And if you are, you're able to break big days, because the cornerbacks usually concentrate on the receiver until it's much too late to make a play on the running back. So because they're, you know, that's their focus, especially in man coverage. So what that's going to be. Now what has to happen, in my opinion, Doug, in all honesty, everybody has to be as healthy as they possibly can. You've got to have a healthy and effective offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have a healthy and effective wide receiver core, because if they do load the box and put man-on-man coverage on Cooper and Crabtree, those guys are going to have to win. And Matt McGoin has the ability to throw a nice ball. They're going to have to win and force those safeties out of that. They're going to have to be creative on the play calling to get those guys open when the team does load up the box and think they're taken away. And they've got to find a way to break tendencies, because right now Denver has, 15 games to look at and see the Raiders' tendencies. And people like me who've watched these guys all year, I can tell you what they're doing 9 times out of 10.
So Amani Cooper and Crabtree, and you got good DBs in Denver.
Right.
So Walford and Rivera, is it at all, because you've been in practices, this is what you do, does Matt McGoin throw to either one of those two tight ends more in practice than, will he have, could those two guys or one of those two be kind of his safety net, per se?
It's hard to say that he has a developed chemistry with anyone else, because for the most part, twos really don't practice. And when they do, they practice on scout teams. So they're showing opponents' offense.
Got you. Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Because you're limited on time and you're limited with the number of things that you can do, the ones pretty much take a step collectively. Every now and then you'll have the twos come up and run them just so they're aware of it. But for the most part, it's really hard to say he's developed a chemistry with anyone. You know what I mean? Because he's doing it with backups or he's playing the scout team. So, but in all honesty, I know Matt's going to – it's going to come to mind when he's playing against the Broncos, hey, I want to get somebody else involved. It's also going to be up to them to find a way to get open.
Well, so they're going to load the box. But what could make this a lot easier is the offensive line just manhandles people. The three-headed monster, Jalen Richard, DeAndre Washington, and Latavius Murray are able to run the ball. What are the chances that you see that? They did have a little bit of success versus Denver versus the first time, time should be a little different.
Well, I mean, it usually is. I mean, the second time around, it's definitely harder to beat a team, especially when you face them and you're not 100%. But really, in all honesty, this is the time, if you're Del Rio, you walk into the locker room and say, look, it's all on the table. If you want this, you got to go out and take it. Right. And you got to go to a hostile place. You got to play the defending Super Bowl champions who you happen to beat once. You manhandled them before. I'm not saying that you're going to be able to manhandle them again, but you need to have the attitude that you can. And that you will. Mm-hmm. And because your quarterback is down, we've got to find other ways to win. So if it means we're going to have to run the ball 60, 65, 70% of the time in order to do it, so be it. It falls on the offensive line and all the guys up front. I need all you guys collectively to come to the table and get the job done. And I don't care how many people they load the box, hat on the hat, running backs run hard. You know, when it's all said and done, the way we used to look at it, Doug, the way I used to look at it, is that, look, coaches coach, players play.
Right.
If it's meant to be, it's up to me. So I'm going to go out there and do it. And if I've got to block two guys or trip one guy or pull the other guy's earlobe and whisper something in his ear to get him to stop, so be it. This is what I'm going to do, and this is what I have to do in order for my boys to win.
Yes. So offensively, what do you think they will pull out in practice to make you know, this new starting group with McGloin behind center to make them comfortable? Is there going to be anything maybe that people haven't seen before or the Broncos haven't seen before, or do they stay true to what they do and what brought them this far?
You kind of at this position, you kind of have to stay true to what did it for you before. You can't reinvent the wheel in week 17. You just can't. And especially you don't want to take a chance because communication is not going to be a premium when, in a sense, you go to Denver. And even though they're out of it, they still hate the Raiders. So everybody, it's going to be a sold out. It's going to be a hostile place. You can hope, again, you can hope that the offensive line commends and dominates. You know, they look, Latavius Murray ran for 114 yards and three touchdowns the last time they played. Denver was without one of their main run blockers up the middle, and they'll probably be out. But, you know, there's something to be said about a wounded animal that's backed in a corner, you know, and when you have an opportunity to take advantage of them. That they're going to still fight. You have to demoralize them in the first half and let them know that they're not. Denver's offense has struggled. You want to keep that under wraps because you give your team even more advantage. If this is a close game, if this is a game that's won on Seabass's foot, then so be it. But you know you got to play all three levels really as well as you can be.
What the hell? Did you just mention a punter?
No, I mentioned a kicker.
You mentioned a kicker?
I mentioned a kicker only because we don't have a starting quarterback right now. I mean, we're replacing our quarterback. I know.
You burn Stranger my damn ears, happen. Man.
Well, first the Fat Boys break up, now this. I get it. You
know, so pass rush with Denver. I mean, that's what they live on, and that's how they do it. Will you see all types of exotic blitzes, different things, trying to throw McGloin off because, you know, this is his first start? Trying to get them to another level. This is a game we don't know if they're going to come and bring it like that, but do you think they will?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if I'm a defensive coordinator and you got a quarterback who's basically sat on his butt all year, I'm going to throw him as many exotic blitzes as I can just to see how up to par he is, up to speed he is. But again, even when they do blitz, and Denver's not necessarily a high blitz team because they have playmakers, especially at the pass rush,
right?
You got to beat them. You got to beat them out of it. I mean, see, there's no easy way around this, Doug. I mean, you got to go to a hostile place and you got to win a football game in order to cement a week off break. And that's what it comes down to. When you come into that meeting room, that's what you're talking about. Man, I want my week off.
How big how big is that week off for these guys?
Huge.
From the standpoint, okay, you got two standpoints. From the standpoint of getting your body back right, mm-hmm. but also integrating McGloin in the comfort. Which one is bigger, the body or integrating him?
It's probably equal.
Really,
I would say the fact is that your starting quarterback is gone for the year, and there have been instances where it's happened in the past and teams have had success.
Right.
But I'm more practical and realistic to where I think that I didn't expect this team to go to the Super Bowl. The fact that they made the playoffs is definitely commendable.
Right.
If they're able to get a first round bye, whoa, that's huge.
That is big.
You feel me?
Yes.
And they're
I do.
Able to host a playoff game, because that means you're only two games away from the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Anything could happen once you get that first week bye. I mean, anything can happen once you're in the playoffs, because it's and you have to be in it to win it. But, so this is really big, the fact that you could get more time to get a quarterback who did not actually foresee that he would be ready or be needed into a position of being ready and the possibility of being able to win, find things that he can do well within his offense, within this offense, and capitalize on them.
Yes. This is The Nation with Lincoln Kennedy. Link, Amari Cooper and Crabtree. Yards after the catch. I think that is going to be big time because, you're not going to have maybe, throwing deep, taking the top off. They're going to little catches. You're going to have to make something happen. What do you think their mindset is going to be? Because they're going to have to take up for the new quarterback.
What their mindset should be is catch the damn ball. I'm so sick of having those guys drop rocks left and right. And when it comes to games like this, positions like this, everything's not going to be perfect because that's just not realistic. It doesn't happen like that. But things that we can control, if the ball hits you in the hands, catch it.
Man, I'm telling you.
It's just straightforward like that. You see what I'm saying? And I kind of relate it to a basketball player like you.
Yeah.
If you're a shooting guard and you're going to the line, there's no reason for you to miss a free throw. Are you kidding me? This is what you do.
Right. I missed a few, Link. Damn it. Why you want to bring that up?
See, but
why
no,
you
but,
bring
but
up
here's,
old stuff?
But here's the thing. When you talk about regrets, you go back and look, man, if we had one or two points there, if I would have made those two free throws or whatever it was, that missed three?
Yep.
You know what I mean? How could it change the game? The same thing could be said about a number of these drops, because a lot of these games have been a little bit more interesting than they had to be because we had guys that dropped balls. And I know guys aren't totally healthy. I get it. As a matter of fact, if you're worth a damn, you're not supposed to be healthy.
That's right. Team. Yeah, you should be grinding.
But I need you to suck it up to get this one, to get this. Like I said, I want my week off.
Yeah. Man, you might need to go in the locker room and, talk to these guys, man. Go on, smack some people around, let them know what's up.
Man, you know how it is.
All right. on a text line, we got a question. Everyone's going back to Derek Carr. Is there any news on his surgery?
The surgery was successful today.
Okay.
It happened down in Los Angeles. Now, we haven't got the details of why Los Angeles was the place, but I believe, and you can relate this because we've been around sports, there's probably a specialist or two or this type of injury repair that's down in Los Angeles. But his surgery went off today without a hitch. It was successful, and he is resting and doing all right.
So did they go with a rod?
They didn't release any details of it.
And
you're not going to get any details, especially out of this staff. They let you know that there was surgery and that was successful, and that's it. Because if you release any details, then you can also tell the severity of the injury or where it happened and stuff like that, so you don't want to do that. You don't want to let out. It's a kept secret, if you will.
Man, I felt, and you would know this better than anyone because you're an offensive lineman, I felt bad for Donald Penn because, it looked like he was about to shed a tear, man. He's like, look, I haven't done this, and it was my guy that got to him. Yeah. It was one false step, and damn. I mean, how does he process that?
Ooh, don't know if you
really
can. Look, I watched it when it happened.
Right.
To put it in perspective, Derek Carr hadn't given up a sack all season. Just announced at a Pro Bowl the week before, having one of his better season especially as an Oakland Raider. Got caught up where his He lost his footing.
Right.
I don't even know how to describe it.
That's what he said.
He lost his footing. It wasn't like the guy ran him over, though. It kind of looked like he trucked him. Uh-huh. But he lost his footing. He went down, and he thought he held on just long enough not to get a penalty, but for Derek to get the ball off. Now, Derek pulled the ball down and tried to scramble, and it was just a freak instance that he got called up under Cole and broke that leg. And, of course, he feels like crap because for what it seems like right now,
yeah,
the season's a wash.
Ugh.
You see what I'm saying? So you can imagine if you're in this position, especially as a protector. I mean, this is what we stand up for. We protect these guys. And, you know, I remember an AFC championship when Saragusa jumped on Rich, you know, how I felt. It wasn't my man. I didn't get beat, but it was how I felt at the time about my quarterback with a broken clavicle.
It's like, ever had something like that happen? Your guy got loose and you just
There was the year I was trying to make a comeback. I played arena ball and the starting quarterback did because I was totally brand new at arena ball, but took a bad step, got beat, and the guy separated the quarterback's shoulder, was now out for the season. But it's happened to me once, so I know how he feels.
Man. Here with the Nation, with Link and Kennedy. Link, the defensive side of the football, I mean, that's all offense right there. What do you see that the Raiders are going to have to do against the Broncos to defensively hold them down? Because a lot of times when you see something like this happen, the team will galvanize and the defense will step up.
Well, this offense, you know, the Denver's offense has been struggling.
Yep.
And so what the last thing you wanted to do is find a way to get off the snide. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you don't want to do anything to get this team going. So the defense has to continue doing what it's done. It's been being progressively better. But Denver's going to pull out all the stops too. I mean, you know, Trevor Siemian, whether he's the guy for the future or whether they have a guy, that's not for us to decide right now.
Right.
What we want to do is if you're out there and you're wearing a Raider uniform on defense, you want to make any quarterback they put out there look bad. And so you don't want to have anything set off from that orange and blue team.
Yes. Khalil Mack.
Mm-hmm.
What are your chances that he is going to be your defensive player of the year?
Well, you also have to think about who else might be in contention for that, right?
Yeah.
It slips me right now who might be some of the top tier names, stats wise. Maybe I could pull it up on a slow computer to figure it out.
You
but
said slow computer.
I've got a dinosaur where I'm working at right now. And it's not even a good dinosaur. It's one of those really lethargic.
You know what?
So
let you know what you looked that up. Let us go to break.
Okay.
And when we come back with Lincoln Kennedy. Oh, Link don't get to come back. Link, you don't even get to come back.
They get to shoot you out, man.
They start talking in my ear.
That's
but you know what? I, looking at him and talking about Khalil Mack and the job that he's been able to do this year and with the success, because a lot of times we see this in the NBA, guys won't make the All-Star team and different stuff because they're doing so great, but their team isn't doing great.
Right.
That's kind of, I guess, where I'm posing the question is, you got someone who's being dominant and their team at the same time is doing big time stuff.
Well, you know, let's look at it this way. When you talk about defensive player of the year, you're talking MVP, you're talking about somebody that stands out. Now, where it sits right now statistically, just on sacks, you know, he's what, fifth or sixth on sacks? With 11 sacks, he's got Vic Beasley at 14 and 5, then Von Miller at 13 and 5. You know, so just in that conversation alone, it's hard to say that he can. I know he's probably in a conversation for what he's done.
Right.
But he would have to have a tremendous game. And I mean, sort of like the last time he was at Denver and faced Denver, another 5-sack game.
Mm-hmm.
And those other guys not show up really or do anything in order
to
jump in them and to be a legitimate contender for something. But when it's all said and done, bro, what has to happen is your playmakers have to make plays. And so on all sides of the ball.
With the exception of him, with Mack and Irving, who do you see defensively that really needs to step up and make something happen?
Without a doubt, it's got to be safety Reggie Nelson.
Okay.
Because these guys are going to take shots downfield. And if Nate Allen continues to play the run support at strong safety, which he has, he's going to have to do that, especially against Denver. Come down late in the box, show from a cover two standpoint, and come down late in the box in order to make a play and negate, you know, gains in the run game. Reggie Nelson is going to have to be critical when he stays deep. He's going to have to stay deep against these receivers and not let him get beat overhead. There's been times where he's that's happened. And
get caught peeking.
Two. Exactly right. Got caught peeking in the backfield. If there's anyone who has to have a big one, I think he has to have a big one, along with this linebacking core. I think this linebacking core is really going to be tested. They have to really have to show something collectively.
Mm-hmm.
They have to show that they can stop the run and continue to play progressively better, which they did, which they have.
Yes, they have.
Later part in the game, one of these things that drives me crazy as a commentator is this damn zone that they play when they have a significant lead, and it is so soft.
Right.
That you really have no way. I wish there was a way to keep their foot on the pedal and really keep the pressure like they do, but when they build that lead. But that's just the difference of philosophy between me and Ken Norton Jr.
Well, that philosophy may have to change now that you don't have that big boom, boom on the offensive end link.
But I don't know if it's possible, Doug.
Gotcha.
I don't know, because theoretically, if it's not part of a person's consistent makeup, it's hard to see them do it all the time. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
You go for what you know. You are who you are.
That's like Link, my next guest, Bobby Jackson. That'd be like him passing the ball.
Oh.
Didn't happen that often. Shots fired,
oh.
Link. That was a Nation with Link and Kennedy. So appreciate you, big man, calling in. And we will talk to you next week. Too bad that you missed Mr. Napier.
It's all good. It's all good. I know Napes well, and I know you're holding down the fort, so it's good to be with you, man. And hey, listen, before I talk to you, Happy New Year, brother, and to you and all your listeners.
Hey, man, same to you. I appreciate you, Link. That was The Nation with Link and Kennedy, breaking it all down. We will be back with Bobby Jackson right after this here on the Grant Napier Show, Sports 1140, KHDK. That's right. This is the Grant Napier Show with me, DC, Doug Christie, on Sports 1140, KHDK. I give this man a lot of poop, but he is absolutely one of my favorites. Bobby Jackson B. Jax, you out there, man? What's up? Well, he's not ready for me, but I when I do get him, I'm always on Bobby. But one of my favorites, one-on-one every day in practice, and I would say, and I'm gonna have to ask him when he comes on, it made both of us better. BJ, you there, man?
I'm here, man. What you up to?
Oh, man, about 6'6", with my shoes off, homie. What's happening with you, man?
Man, I'm good, man. Just stepped out the movies with the girls. We up here.
What you see?
Trying to catch a little flick. Scene.
Oh, okay.
Well, I was falling asleep anyway, so.
You something else, man. Don't be snoring in the movies, man.
Hey, man. Come on, man. You know, cartoon movies. Animation don't do me real well.
I got you, man. Well, Merry Christmas to you and the girls, and Happy New Year. I already told you that, but just
hey, man, appreciate it. Same to you, big dog.
No doubt, man. So many. Hey, who's your favorite football team, man?
Hey, man, you already know who it is, man.
Who is it?
49ers. I'm a 49ers fan, man.
I feel so sorry for you.
Yeah, I'm
win the game.
It's a down year for us, man.
I'm saying, man, it might
be. It's hard to watch. It's one of those games. It's one of those games that you love, but you can't watch. You hate watching them play.
Hey, man, might be a down decade, man. I'm
not
just,
a decade.
I'm
Come
just
on,
saying, man.
Man.
I'm just saying.
On,
you know what? You've had many hats, man, from player, coaching, scouting, analyst. Mm-hmm. Besides player, which one of those has been your favorite so far, man?
Post basketball, I'll probably say coaching.
Really?
Yeah, you know, I love just the aspect of just being out on the floor with kids and young men and helping developing them. But mm-hmm. also the X and O's of the game really intrigues me, whether it's working on offense and working on defense. So I would say, you know, the coaching aspect is really what I love to do the most.
I've been blessed. I come up and watch Dougie practice at Granite mm-hmm. Bay, and I seen you practicing with the girls. How are they doing? I know you lend your time with the Granite Bay girls basketball team. How they doing?
They doing good, man. You know, it's a process. The girls is totally different than guys. You know, you don't get the speed and the athleticism, but you get they're willing to be coached. They want to be coached.
Yep.
And you know they don't have the toughness that the guys have also, but they are really sweet girls. They want to learn. They want to get better. And I think this year, I think we 8-3.
There you go.
I don't think Granite Bay has ever been 8-3 at this juncture in the season in 11 games in. So it's just a process of just trying to get better at the things that we don't do well.
On the professional side, mm-hmm. what are you seeing in this first 4-game win streak. What are you seeing so far that you like in what they're doing?
From the beginning of the season, man, it was just chaos. Nobody knew. I think the guys were trying to figure out what Coach Yeager was trying to do as a coach, but also trying to figure out each other as an individual. You know, and the one thing I like now is, you know, DeMarcus is playing at a really high level.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, he's not forcing the issues, mm-hmm. you know, especially in late game situations. Normally last year he would take really bad shots. This year I think he's letting the offense come to him. They're moving the basketball like that three, that big three that he hit last night.
Yeah.
Off the pick and roll to a swing to him at the top. He shot that like he had made 10 in a row.
Yes, he did.
And the growth of just seeing him mature on the basketball court, but dominate, but make his teammates better, I think is really, really intriguing this year because I think that's something that he stepped into and he's relishing in it. But the bench has been playing really well also.
Yeah, and we already know the bench is, man, for any team, it is huge. I think that they're looking at Golden State and a lot of different teams. That's what's been separating them a lot of times is the ability for their bench to come in like us. There was no fall off.
Yeah.
And now the bench is scoring 40 and 50 points. Mm-hmm. And when you get that type of production from your bench, it can take you to the next level.
Oh, without a doubt. And then you got to add them playing defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they kind of struggled in the first half with getting stops. But for some odd reason, in that fourth quarter, man, the defense steps up. They limit team. They take away the first and second, and it makes sometimes the third option. And teams are really struggling to score the basketball on this win streak, especially in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to put that – if they can put four quarters of great basketball together like they do in that fourth quarter, just imagine what the record would be.
Yeah, man.
You know, but I know it's a process. So, you know, I'm happy with it. I love seeing these guys get better every single day.
Yeah, you know, the last three games, I want to say it's 32-20, 32-21, and last night 33-22, something like that. That's how they've been outscoring it, closing games and closing quarters. I speak about it a lot. Maybe you can kind of enlighten people because all of a sudden you get down and it's that last 2 minutes. A lot of times in practice, we would go through that 2-minute drill where coach put 2 minutes on the clock and you got to figure out how to close it out. Speak to that a little bit.
Well, I think it's a process. You know, I think they've never had that, especially with DeMarcus being here, being able to go through a 2-minute drill, but also execute, figuring out a game plan. You know, I think Garrett, we got guys that stepped up and make big plays and make big shots like Garrett and Ty Lawson. You know, Garrett was 0-for-3, 0-for-4 before he made that huge three. It was just the ice in his veins. So, you know, being able to follow through in crunch time, but also execute the game plan. It's huge. And as you know, but I'm also a realist, man. I like to, you know, I look at, you know, these wins. These are wins that we're supposed to win,
mm-hmm.
whether it's with the Portlands, Phillies. Mm-hmm. You know, we're supposed to win these games if we want to get to the next plateau. And I think that's the sign that I'm starting to see. Because last year we would lose these games. This year we're starting to win these games.
Yep. It's 6:43, time for a retirement checkup. Call David Hedger at Granite Bay Asset Management Group, 791-1737. B-Jax, always good to hear you, man. I'm going to see you out there. You be safe, man. Enjoy the New Year's. I hope you getting some black eyed peas.
Oh, man, you already know. That's going down in the Jackson household. Black eyed peas, man.
That's what's up, baby.
You got to bring in the New Year right. Nice talking to you, my man.
No doubt, baby. Much love.
All right, have a good one.
That was Bobby Jackson, and we will be right back here on the Grant Napier Show, Sports 1140. KHDK. It's 6:50, time for Jacuzzi of Sacramento's 2016 floor model clearance, jacuzziofsacramento.com. For all you hip-hop heads, and I'm talking West Coast hip-hop, if you know anything about West Coast hip-hop, the Loonies, I got five on it, 1995 smash hit I got with me right now, Yuck Mouth from the Loonies, my man, what it do?
What's poppin' with it, Doug, man? Thanks for having me in the building, man. Appreciate the love.
Oh, man, I appreciate it as well. First, are you a Warriors fan, man?
Of course, man. You know, I've been a Warrior fan since the Chris Mullin and the Mitch Richmond days. So I go way back with the Warrior fan base, you dig?
Okay, because, you know, my man E-40, he used to come out to the games, man, and he was giving us much love, and then I looked over at him, and he got on the Warriors gear. I'm like, yo, man, you forgot about your boy. What's up?
Right. Hey, I really don't know, man, because 40, you know, he's kind of neutral. You know, Vallejo really don't got a team, so he got to go for either Oakland or San Francisco, so choose one. You know what I mean?
No.
Sacramento.
No doubt, man. It's all love with 40, man. He was one of our big supporters, man. they say East Oakland. Yeah, that's right. I can remember. Hey, I can remember the first time I heard it, man. Too Short, The Click. I mean,
right.
Just absolutely trend-setting music, man. What did that type of stuff do for you as a youngster coming up in East Oakland?
Oh, man, just listening to Too Short, man. E-40 and The Click, people like C-Bo, Sally Sale, Cool Nut, Mac Dre, you know what I mean?
Mac Dre?
MC Hammer, you know what I mean? The list goes on and on. So they taught me how to do the independent hustle. You know, the Bay Area, we start out the back of the trunk. We ain't wait for record labels to come sign us or whatnot. So they taught me the art of independent hustle straight up, and they gave me the motivation to do it, being that they came from, you know, the Bay Area. They just gave me hope that, okay, if they could do it, I could do it.
You know
what I mean? So shout out to them brothers.
Yeah, no doubt. Another guy who we used to see a lot of times around Sacramento when we had our thing rolling with the Kings was Rafael Saadiq. And you guys did a song, Just You and Me, back in the day with him, man. How was that, man, working? Because he's a genius in my mind. Dude is crazy.
Yeah, man. Just working with Saadiq, man, and that boy, the other guy named Ant Wiggins.
Uh-huh.
What's his name? Yeah. Them two brothers, man, it was just an honor to work with them, man. You know, with them having mainly super success with the Tony brand.
Yep.
What's an old girl name that they had got from out there? What's her name?
I'm not sure.
It's a singer, though. It's a singer. It's
okay.
Guapale.
Okay.
They had with Guapale and all the soul singers they got. So it was just an honor, you know what I mean, and a privilege just to work with them, to have them do production. And then we did a remake of one of their songs. So to have them actually singing on and then redo the beat was dope.
Crazy, you know? Man. It sounded crazy.
Definitely.
So I know you got a new album coming out, man. JJ, based on a Ville story. Tell me about it, man. Part one. Tell me about it. And what was the motivation behind it?
Basically, man, it's like a prequel to my platinum album, Thugged Out, the Avalation. So it's a prequel. It's like how Star Wars took it back to the Anakin Skywalker days. You know,
yep.
Prequel before Empire Strikes Back. So, I just took it back to the beginning, you know, what people know me for in the neighborhood, and my name was JJ in the neighborhood before I became Yuck Mouth.
Oh, hold up. So you were JJ, you were JJ before Yuck Mouth. So you got to tell me, first of all, how the name Yuck Mouth come? Because from the neighborhood, I could think of a whole lot of things, man, but you tell me how it came about. That's what's up.
Hey, I'm going to let you know, it did not come from having cavities in your gums, you know, or doing nasty stuff with my mouth.
Definitely, I got you.
It came from a cartoon, you know, it was the Mighty Man and Yuck Mouth cartoon in the 70s, man, where Mighty Man, he was little, and I guess Yuck Mouth had the doghouse on his head, and his powers was to take the doghouse off his head and scare everybody. So that's where I got the name from, basically. And why I chose the name, basically, it's the opposite. You know what I mean? Like how Nas first came out, he was nasty Nas.
Yep.
Not like Too Live Crew nasty, but
right. His
voice, his rhymes is nasty. So same with me. Not nasty, not yuck, like yucky mouth, but nasty rhymes, nasty mouth, yuck mouth, yucky rhymes. Crazy. No. So that's why I came with the name Yuck Mouth.
No doubt, man. You know, you brought up, I brought up earlier, you know, 40 and Short and all of them guys, Ice-T, Cube. When you talk about the older school of hip-hop and the newer school of hip-hop, what do you see happening right now in hip-hop?
Basically, they're keeping the torch lit. I like the young school, you know, what they doing, whatever. But they don't get no love to the old heads. You know, they don't get no love to the foundation, the people who laid the blueprint before them. You know what I mean? I hear rappers talking about they ain't never heard of Biggie Smalls and Tupac. And that's just crazy. Oof. That's just like a piece of it. You know what I mean? But
come
the new
on.
Dudes, yeah, the new top dudes. Shout out Lil Yachty. Yeah. He said he don't he ain't never heard of Pac or Biggie. And he think Drake is better than them, which is cool. You know, that's y'all era, you know, and that's y'all Tupac right now. It is Drake. So I respect it, but you still got to give love to the legends. You know what I mean? Like, before I came in the game, I knew about Run DMC, Melly Mel, Cold Crush Crew, Busy B.
Busy B? Look at you. Oh, that's what I'm talking about, man.
I had to know where hip-hop came from. I either was breakdancing with the Rocksteady crew and all that. So,
yep.
If you're a real rapper, I come from breakdancing and graffiti. You know what I mean? And I know my history. A lot of these dudes just woke up and start rapping. They don't really come from the foundation. You wasn't a DJ first. You wasn't a breakdancer. You wasn't a graffiti artist. That's where the rappers usually start at, them three.
Yeah.
You know, or making music, you know, being a musician. So if you weren't them, then, you know, you just over here just making words. You really don't come from the foundation. You don't know about the foundation. So when you hear the dudes over there mumble rapping and they on the auto-tune, you know, using computers and stuff to make their voice sound cool, that's cheap. That ain't keeping it a buck. You couldn't bite back in the day when I came out. You had to be original. So you could tell if it was a Dr. Dre beat when it came from the Def O camp.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell it was the No Limit beat when it came from Master P.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell it was a Manny Fresh beat when it came from Cash Money. You know, right now, everybody sound the same.
Right,
you know,
right.
We couldn't do that back in the day. It'd be considered fighting. You'll be the laughing stock of hip-hop, and it's different. Nowadays, you can bite, you can sound alike, and it's all good. So it's a different age and time, but, you know, music is music, man. As long as you still thrive, as long as hip-hop is still going to the top, still the number one genre in music, I'm good with it.
No, you know? Doubt. That this is Yuck Mouth from the but you can get his album, JJ, Based on a Ville Story, Part 1, Part 2, released in February from the Loonies. Hey, man,
yes,
I appreciate you taking the time, my brother. Much love to you. And
Thanks, Doug.
Always keeping it 100. Appreciate you, bro.
Man, thanks for having me, man. Y'all have a blessed holidays and Happy New Year, man.
One no time. Doubt. Grand Napier Show, Sports, 1140 KHDK.